Do you want Nelson McCausland is in the studio too much since he's left the DUP? You haven't left the DUP, but you're certainly in the Nolan Show a lot more often now, Mr. McCausland.
Well, I've always in the past tried to accommodate any requests that came in.
Do you enjoy the Nolan Show now?
I think a little bit of verbal sparring is a good start to the day.
Good. Martine Anderson's been doing a little bit of her own verbal sparring. Sammy Wilson said it's like listening to a fishwife in full flow, which isn't very complimentary, not very respectful, is it? Martine Anderson telling the Prime Minister to stick the border where the sun doesn't shine because you're not putting it in Ireland, she says.
Well, maybe Sammy was being disrespectful to fishwives, I don't know, but as regards Martine Anderson, whether she was speaking in English or... probably she wanted maybe to translate it into Irish, but English or Irish, she was certainly clear enough as to what she meant. I think the key point for most people listening to that this morning is if a unionist politician had made the same comment or the same sort of comment about the president of the Irish Republic or the Taoiseach in the Irish Republic or indeed a senior nationalist politician, I think they would be hammered in the media and therefore the response that there's been is only what is to be expected. She let herself down. She degraded, demeaned herself, and
any difference from that in Curry My Yogurt?
I think
any difference from that in crocodiles? Feed the crocodile, and we'll go back for more.
I think that in regard to the crocodile, alligator, or whatever it was, remark, it was an analogy. This was a very clear instruction to what the Prime Minister Theresa May should be doing, and I think it was demeaning to Martine Anderson and to her cause.
Does any of this matter? Tone and words?
Well, it clearly does because during the election campaign there was a tremendous amount of focus by Sinn Féin on issues around tone and words. And it was all about respect, they said. So where's the respect for the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom? Where's the respect for anyone, really? That sort of language is just inappropriate in... the setting of the European Parliament, even though there was hardly anybody there to listen to her.
Yeah, your party doesn't really dance around nice language all the time yourselves, do you? Like, I'm thinking of the many examples where you could cite DUP members talking from the gut, talking from the heart.
One could go back over many years and look at many things that different people have said. And I commented on social media the other day in regard to some of Gerry Adams' comments about how he regards people in the unionist community like me. And I'll not use the word that he used at this time in the morning.
Bees.
Yes, exactly the very word that he used. Now, that is how he thought about us. So language, I think we need all of us. If we're going to build a shared and better Northern Ireland, then we need to reflect on how we express ourselves, whether it be in English or Irish.
No, I want to talk to you this morning about the Irish Language Act because you've been caught out, haven't you? You're the man who said that the Irish language would cost £100 million in Northern Ireland. And here we now have a very different figure, that it would cost £18.5 million over the course of an assembly term, according to an Irish language group. This is Conrad na Gaeilge. Has produced an implementation document detailing what an act would entail. They say there would be an initial £8.5 million cost and then another £2 million a year over 5 years to run it. So nowhere even close to £100 million. Dr. Padraig O'Tierna is from the group. Padraig, good morning to you.
Roger, hi, Stephen.
Good morning. What does that mean? Does that mean good morning, what you just said?
Good morning, Stephen. It is shocking to kill it. It is Irish Language Week. So
sure. No, that's fine. But I just wanted to understand what you said there. So when you said that what you said to me was good morning or hello or what?
Good morning, Majin Wai.
Okay. Good morning to you. And the former DUP MLA, as you know, Nelson McCausland in the studio with us. So spell out these numbers here, Padraig.
Well, what we're looking at here, we thought that around a lot of the debate around the implementation of the Irish Language Act, as we know, the question of the Irish language has been at the centre of the political discourse since the removal of the £50,000 LEFA bursary fund from previous Communities Minister Paul Given around the LEFA bursaries. And what we thought was missing from the debate were actual substantiated and proper realistic costing from the debate. So what we did, we sat down over the last 2 or 3 weeks and we've put together a costing document that breaks down the 11 different sections of what we believe would be the legitimate needs and rights of the Irish language community. And we says that over the next 5 years, there will be a one-off cost of $8.5 million over the term of a five-year executive or assembly with an annual cost of $2 million. What we're talking about here is official status. We're talking about a central translations unit. We're talking about the use of the Irish language within the assembly, public bodies and public companies, the use of language at local government level, Irish in the courts with the repeal of the draconian penal law that stops the use of the Irish language in the courts, and then money on place names, and finally an Irish language, the office of an Irish language commissioner.
And who costed this for you?
Well, we costed this ourselves, Stephen.
Well, how did you add it up?
Well, we've been in touch closely with people in Wales. We've been in touch closely with people in the south of Ireland that work closely in terms of the legislation.
Did you get an accountancy firm to check the figures?
Well, we deal with Conor na Gaeilge. We are a national organisation, Stephen, and we deal with legislation on a daily basis. We deal with the cost of legislation both in the south and international bilingualism.
Is there a breakdown of the cost?
There is a breakdown of the cost.
Can I see it?
Yes, but we have sent it through to all your correspondents in the BBC this
morning. Have you? You haven't sent it through to me.
Well, I'll send it through to you now. Do you have your email address there, Stephen, if you want to send it out online? I'll send it through to you. We sent it through to the BBC this morning and indeed yesterday, and I did discuss it this morning with Noel Thompson on Good Morning Ulster. So we're very confident. And what I think is very interesting here is we're talking here, if you break down that $18.5 million over 5 years, that is the equivalent of around $3.8 million per year. Now, I think some of the figures that Nelson and indeed former party leader, former Arlene Foster had quoted was around $20 to $30 million per year. What you're talking there is a difference in Nelson's figure between £96.2 million a year and indeed £26.2 million a year from Arlene Foster. That is an extortionate difference, Stephen, between our figures and previously quoted figures.
Extortionate, Nelson McCausland. You've been exaggerating.
Well, in actual fact, until one sees the content of their actual document, which I haven't seen, I've only read the newspaper reports, as you yourself have been relying on the newspaper reports, so I'll be interested to read this and go through it. The cost of anything depends on the content. And he referred there, the gentleman referred from Conor na Gaeilge referred to the Irish Language Act. My first question would always be, which Irish Language Act? Because we have the version that was put out a number of years ago by Pubble, an Irish language group, and launched by the Sinn Féin Culture Minister.
How about the one on the Stormont House Agreement?
The Stormont House Agreement Act simply refers to two strategies, but I think if we keep to the issue rather than diverting off. It refers to, my question is, which Irish Language Act? Because there's the Pubble model, which is the gold-plated, all-singing, all-dancing demand from that organisation, which presents itself as the umbrella body for Irish language groups. There is the model that was consulted on by Carol McKill as minister, which was never actually costed. And then we have this figure now, which appears. But I noticed just in the newspaper reports of it, it says, for example, the document calls for the BBC to spend £10 million on Irish language services. Now, is that per year? Perhaps that can be clarified. But if it was...
Well, let's ask him. Is that per year?
Well, first of all, Nelson made a very interesting point on which Irish Language Act we are talking about. If we look at the Irish Language Act that was put out to consultation by the former DCAL Minister, Carol na Cullen, in 2015, 13,000 people responded. There were 13,000 submissions to that consultation. It was one of the largest consultations that was ever...
Sure, but let's just go through some of the...
94.7% of those respondents agreed with an Irish Language Act. And we have based our proposals on the 11...
Okay, let's go through some of the detail of this. The 10 million that you're asking the BBC to spend on Irish language, is that per year?
Yes, that is per year. As we know, Stephen, the BBC currently spend around £2 million per annum in the North of Ireland.
But I thought you've said here that it would only cost £2 million a year.
Well, what we're talking about here is that block grant from the BBC would come straight from the British government. So what we're actually talking about here is an investment in the North. That is positive profit for the North of Ireland.
So when
£40 million.
So when this document of yours said that there would be an initial £8.5 million cost and then another £2 million a year over 5 years to run it, you're just leaving out the £10 million a year that the BBC would spend, are you?
I think this is the money that is going to be needed from the executive in the North of Ireland to spend in the Irish language. That additional £10 million, that £2 million we get already is a grant from the British government in Westminster. If that was increased to 10 million, which isn't even close to what Scotland, indeed Wales, gets £75 million per year that goes directly to the station S4C. If we were anything close to that, we would see an increased investment in the Northern Irish economy, and therefore we would have a positive profit of £8 million per year, adding up to an additional investment of £40 million per year in the economy here in the north of Ireland.
I think there's an issue here about numeracy and how people handle figures. It's very clearly stated now by them, they've acknowledged that there would be a cost of £10 million for BBC broadcasting in Irish, as opposed to £2 million. Now, if you look at what is actually said, they say that that would come not directly from the Treasury, but from the current budget of the BBC. So there'll be less money to pay you, Stephen. There'll be less money to put on news programmes. There'll be less money to put on travel programmes, nature programmes, historical programmes, comedy programmes, whether it be the Blame Game or whatever. £10 million would be taken out of that just to spend on Irish language programmes. So now once you start to dig into this, suddenly there's a very different picture emerging. But there's just £10 million that we've identified already. The big costs, of course, in terms of language promotion are around broadcasting and education. Now, I don't know what figure they have put on the additional cost that there would be in terms of providing Irish medium education, Irish medium youth services, because there's an aspiration to develop a very strong sector. There's a whole lot of issues. Is
the cost of education and Irish medium youth services that Nelson refers to, is that included in these figures?
Well, again, Stephen, as we see, the cost of the education comes under the Department of Education.
So that's not included in these figures?
No, well, as we see...
Yes or no, included in these figures?
As we see, Stephen, I think it's a very important point. Children need to be educated. If there's one child on the left-hand side of the room and another child on the right-hand side of the room, sure. If one child is being educated through the medium of English and the other child being educated through the medium of Irish, the cost still has to come from the Department of Education.
Right, so just for clarity, I'm just trying to understand this. Is that cost of educating those children in Irish language included in these figures?
No, this is not included in the cost of this legislation.
So
it falls under the Department of Education.
Okay, but the Irish Language Act would require children who want to be educated in Irish, would they?
Well, there's already a statutory duty on the Department of Education, Stephen, to protect and promote the Irish language education. What the Irish Language Act would give legislative protection to the implementation of that statutory duty, and therefore...
Yes, but if the Irish Language Act...
It wouldn't then be at the mercy of any unfavourable minister.
Sure, OK, I get that. But if the Irish Language Act would give that protection that you seek and you think is justifiable... Okay?
Yep.
Then that is going a step further than what the current situation is, all right? So why are you publicly then saying a figure that doesn't include the cost of that extra step that you're asking for?
Well, I think, like I said, those figures come under the Department of Education. Those figures are going to be spent on education regardless. If we see there was a figure quoted on Good Morning this morning...
But no matter where it comes under, it's extra money for extra protection that you're asking for. It's right or wrong, but you're asking for extra money and you're not including it in this headline figure an Irish Language Act would cost £18.5 million over the course of an assembly term. We now find out you're not including the £10 million a year from the BBC. Now we find out you're not including the extra money from the Department of Education.
Well, let's address the Department of Education and the Irish medium sector, Stephen. Currently, there are 6,000 children in the Irish medium sector. It's one of the fastest growing sectors in the north of Ireland. It is estimated within 7 years the figures in those schools will be doubled. The figure quoted this morning on the BBC regarding the CEA, the CCEA around translating textbooks and resources. The CCEA was not just a translation unit, they also designed, published new textbooks, which is a huge undertaking. The Irish medium sector is not even 50 years old, and there is a huge gap in terms of resources after decades. And this is what we must understand here. There have been decades upon decades of non- and underinvestment in the Irish language sector in terms of education.
So then at least just say it out loud how much money you want.
Well, I think what we've put down...
It's not £18.5 million over an assembly term, is it?
In terms of the legislative protection here, Stephen, what we've got...
No, that's not true. Hold on a minute. Because you've said the legislative protection would also include the extra protection...
That falls under the Department of Education.
Well, no matter where it falls, its extra money needs to be found.
Yeah, well, that's extra money. That money is there for education regardless of the medium of the education, Stephen.
I think that when one listens to the spokesman for Conrad na Gaeilge, the Gaelic League, that it's very clear that this is ill thought out and is simply an attempt to minimise the figures so that people will not use that as an argument against an Irish Language Act.
It's still nowhere close to your 100 million. Well, your 100 million wasn't thought out very well, was it?
Yeah,
nice round figure of 100 million you come up
well,
with.
Well, you don't have in front of you the basis on which that figure was produced. But, so let me explain. If you take a small council in Wales, Torfan Council, 91,000 of a population, their cost per year was £868,000, nearly, not far short of £900,000. That's one small council. You then look across all the public sector bodies, because they do mention in the report public sector bodies, and also, when Irish was made an official EU language...
Weren't those figures in Wales then disputed?
I thought the BBC actually retracted those.
So did I read an article where the BBC said, look,
no,
some of those figures were wrong.
Those weren't BBC figures. Those were figures actually that emanated from Torfan Council. But let me just quote another figure here that I'm sure will not be disputed, that when Irish was made an official EU language, you had then to train the translators so that they could actually translate the technical terminology, the legal terminology, the legislative terminology that you have to translate. And it cost £10 million alone to train the translators. Now, once you start building all these things up, you begin to see that the figure of £2 million that has been quoted by the Gaelic League is simply ridiculous. We've already got the £10 million on top. That's five times the amount that they're quoting, which I think immediately blows this thing apart and shows that really the report isn't really worth the paper.
Stephen, can I ask Nelson? Can I come in there and ask Nelson a question?
You can.
If our figures stand up and we are happy to sit down and discuss this with all parties, or requested meetings with all parties, these figures, we are confident that these figures will stand up under scrutiny. If our figures of 3.8 million per year, that's costing in the 8.5 million over 5 years and the 2 million annually, if that was true, would Nelson or the DUP be happy to see the implementation of an Irish Language Act?
Well, first of all...
It's a yes or no answer.
No, well, please let me speak. It's first of all clear that we don't have to wait to examine whether your figures are valid or not. The figures are not valid because already we've shown your £10 million per year out. And I think people who watch BBC and enjoy the programmes will be interested...
Funding,
sorry, just a moment. I think people who watch the programmes on BBC and enjoy Radio Ulster will probably be saying themselves, if you strip £10 million out for Irish language programmes, which currently have very, very low viewing figures by and large, the only one that really gets a large viewing figure is when Daniel O'Donnell sings whatever it is, Opry from Newry, but the average Irish language programme has a small viewing figure. So people will be concerned that their viewing
will Ulster Scots programmes be
actually interesting enough, the programmes that have been funded through the Ulster Scots Broadcast Fund quite often have higher viewing figures than some of the Irish language.
Well, that's all relative.
It is relative. But I think then
they're not exactly blockbusters, are they?
Well, actually, for example, the William Crawley programme that was funded.
Never mention that word on this programme.
Right, okay. The excellent BBC programme that was funded through the Ulster Scots Broadcast Fund in regard to the Ulster Covenant was actually one of the highest viewing figures that there are. Look, we could go into that in more detail. There's a lot of different issues here. But what I'm simply saying is that when you look at cost, the figures they're quoting don't stand up. Gentleman asked, what about an Irish Language Act in principle? My personal view would be that this is really about identity. People involved in the Gaelic League over 100 years and more have been very clear, because the Gaelic League has a long history. It was there at the heart of the Gaelic revival and fed into the 1916 rising. So the Gaelic League has a view about Irish language as an expression of Irish identity. And I think we need to have a conversation here in Northern Ireland, which I would be very happy to contribute to, about how we affirm all different cultural identities, but, and I borrow the word from Sinn Féin because it's been one of their top words over the past number of months, it has to be done on the basis of real, genuine equality.
Padraig.
Yes, well, there's a few questions there. First of all, in terms of the BBC, if we look at the figures in Wales, you're talking about £75 million per year in S4C. In Scotland, you're talking about £10 million per year. And in the north of Ireland, you're talking about £2 million per year. Now, in any man's books, I don't think those figures are in any way equal. in terms of equality for broadcasting for the devolved nations here. So I don't think that's an okay argument. And secondly, whenever the question was put to Nelson's former colleague Peter Weir on the Nolan Show, if the Irish Language Act was reasonably costed, or if indeed it was free, would he accept the implementation of the Irish Language Act? And his blunt and snap reaction was no. So I think the arguments the DUP, and indeed Nelson himself, are putting forward are not one of cost, but they are one of cultural intolerance. And that Nelson's right, we do need to move this argument on. We've moved the argument away from that cultural battle that he usually quotes. We've moved it now on to cost, because we are finally talking about the practical implications of an Irish Language Act, what it looks like, and we're hoping that the public now start talking about the proposals we're making, why we need the proposals, the provisions we're recommending, and what are the best ways to implement those provisions.
First of all, interestingly enough, he quoted a figure there of, in Wales, it was £75 million per year on broadcasting. And of course, if we go back to earlier conversations that were held in Decal and elsewhere about this, it was always the Welsh model rather than the Scottish model that was preferred. £75 million, is that his target?
No, not at all. But I think you also have to put this in the context. The Welsh government and the Welsh nation have been talking about language legislation for over 60 years. They are now on their fourth piece of legislation since the Welsh Court Act of 1942. Let's not forget that we're actually still prohibited from using the Irish language in court.
All right, let me see if we can get some of the public speaking to you all this morning. Stevie and Bangor. Morning, Stevie. We've only a few minutes left. Morning, Stevie.
Good morning, Stephen. Thank you for taking my call. On the implementation of an Irish Language Act, can I ask the panellists there, under employment and equality law in Northern Ireland, would it be unequal for Protestants and Catholics to implement the Irish language? Because surely there would be more Roman Catholics employed in the implementation of an Irish language act than what would be Protestants. But very, very few, if any, Protestants speak Irish language. And can I just, I know Nelson's there, could I quickly, I know it's coming up the St. Patrick's Day, could I quickly give a wee song to Nelson McLaughlin? When our eyes are smiling.
Fred in Dromore. Good morning, Fred. Morning.
Hello,
Fred.
How are you doing? I heard that gentleman saying about the many millions of British money that was going into the Irish Language Act.
Yes.
Surely, if they want to speak an Irish language act, it should be the Irish government promoting that and paying for it, not the British taxpayer.
Padraig?
Well, I think a very important point is here as well that the Irish language community is growing. It takes in people from both sides of the community, and indeed all communities. But we are all taxpayers as well. We pay taxes. We deserve to have our own rights enshrined in legislation. And there was a point made by the gentleman before that in terms of the civil service. I think we need to carry out a very clear audit. We already have people working in the civil service that have Irish. We have people working in public bodies and public companies that have Irish. Let's find out how many there are. Let's find out how many are competent to use Irish language. And let's find out how many are actually happy to use the Irish language in their daily work. And let's take the cost from there after that.
Yes.
And indeed,
go ahead, Fred, you can respond.
Let's provide training to those already employed.
Yes, Fred, you can respond.
Pick up.
Pardon?
Do you want to respond?
Yes, well, I think instead of an Irish language, I think we need that Martina had a good Irish. An act for having good language, not bad language.
All right.
In courts.
Listen, just to come back to a question Padraig asked you earlier. If the cost was deemed reasonable, would you support an Irish Language Act?
Well, there are, and in fact, one of the callers there raised the issue. This is not just about a matter of cost. It's also about equality, discrimination, practicality. If you are going to have, for example, as Martin O'Muller was moving towards trying to bring in some legislation that would change the current restriction on languages in courts, how would you ever put together a balanced jury in Northern Ireland that was able to grasp the nuances of law through a translator? It just isn't going to work. That may work if you are in dealing with low-level cases somewhere in the Gaeltacht.
So no matter what the cost is, you're still not going to accept it?
I think it's impractical. What we need to do, therefore, is...
So is that fair for me to say? No matter what the cost, you're not going
the
to
issues
accept
are
it?
Not, the issue is not simply cost. That is only one of them. I think this paper today from the Gaelic League is an attempt to deal with the cost issue, which it doesn't do. but they have not addressed any of the other issues. And the primary one for me is around this fact. This is all about asserting, validating, affirming an Irish identity in broadcasting, in public life and in education. How do we affirm other cultural identities in Northern Ireland
okay.
in the same areas?
Padraig, final word to you, 20 seconds.
Yep, and indeed the Council of Europe and the United Nations have supported the case for an Irish Language Act recently, and what we're looking for here are measurable and practical options that are both reasonable and meet the legitimate expectations of the community.
Okay.
Now is the time for action. Now is the time for an Irish Language Act.
And also time maybe for some accurate figures rather than the nonsense we've got put before us today from the Gaelic League.
Padraig and Nelson, thank you very much.